Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. The tragedy of the Texas bombings help us understand something especially significant about public policy. So we want to discuss that today. But by the way, we've gotten a tremendous response from our Real Science Radio program on Friday, airing our feigned interview with Stephen Hawking. In fact, we've decided, because of all that input, it's something we've wanted to do for a while. We are going to begin to put the Bob and Yurt Live programs on YouTube each day, day in and day out, but we're putting the audio on. We're not going to put a camera in the studio. I know people have been asking us to do that for 20 years, and everybody who suggested, they suggested as though they just thought of something. And hey, Bob, here's an idea, as though we never thought of that. But we're going to put the audio on YouTube with the logo. A lot of programs do it that way. And so it'll be another avenue, another way for people to find Bob and Yurt Live. But that rather significant Stephen Hawking interview and the content of the interview, which is what is compelling about it, that will be the first program that we'll put up, and then Lord willing, day in and day out, we'll also not only broadcast this program and provide a podcast, but then put it on our YouTube channel. Also, if you want to find our YouTube channel, just obviously youtube.com, search for Bob and Yurt, or you go to our website, kgov.com, and click on our YouTube channel. So, the Texas bombings. How do you stop the Texas bombings? At first, it was a package not shipped through the mail, not delivered by UPS. Just a package shows up on somebody's porch or the front yard, and they pick it up and they get killed. So that happens a couple times. Now it's a package on the side of the road, but apparently with a tripwire, you know, like a thread, and some people pushing their bicycles along the sidewalk go over the tripwire, and the bomb blows up. So how many ways are there in which human beings could kill other human beings? How many possible ways? Well, the number must approach infinity with how creative people can be. So the tragedy of the Texas bombings, they should help us understand something so significant about public policy. It's one of the themes of Bob and Yurt Live for decades now. The proper approach to security is not that people can't commit crime, but that they won't commit crime. That's the proper approach to security. Not that people can't commit crime, but that they won't commit crime. Now, folks will not be able to understand what this means, nor how it would work, if they have not spent their lives studying the scriptures and giving special attention to God's wisdom regarding criminal justice. You just can't unlearn, let's say, 30 years of cliches and false teaching in a moment. You can't just unlearn all that instantly. You hear an idea that's true, it's hard to process it. What are the implications of it? And so it's easier for people to just reject it, largely because it's not what they've heard their whole lives. So many will dismiss this for various reasons, like some will think that we're saying, give up on providing security. You don't need security guards, you don't need weapons, you don't need locks, you don't need passwords. We're not saying that at all. All that is a secondary layer to security. The first line of defense, The first line of security is deterrence, so that people will not commit crime. And that is what God says in the Bible. Our anti-biblical criminal justice system is a failure at deterrence. Sure, it deters some people. There are a lot of people who don't commit crime because they wouldn't commit crime, regardless of the circumstances they find themselves in, even if they see they could totally get away temporarily. You can't get away permanently with a crime because God sees everything. People who think they're so crafty, it's as though they're committing a murder on a stage in a theater, and the lights are out in the audience part of the theater, but the stage is well lit, and they commit a murder, and there are 1,000 people in the seats in the audience, and they all see it as clear as could be, and this crafty criminal thinks he just committed a crime and nobody knows, and he's going to get away with it. Every crime is like that, every single crime, because God sees every crime. People don't get away with anything. For every crime, justice is eventually achieved. Either because when Jesus Christ died on the cross to sacrifice himself to pay the debt of our sin, he was the atonement, he was the price that was paid, and then we come to him and thank him and ask him to forgive us. And so the penalty for our sin was then paid. And so the demands of justice were fulfilled. And so nobody got away with that. When we committed the crime, it hurt us immediately, right then and there. It hurt other people. And then the penalty was paid for us when Jesus Christ died on the cross. For other people who shake their fist at God and hate him, want nothing to do with him, would shout, crucify him, given the opportunity. The people who would destroy God in order to vindicate themselves, these are the people for whom, along with Satan and the demons that have rebelled against God, for whom hell was created. This is why hell was created. Because given the opportunity, they would destroy God to justify themselves, and they would turn heaven into hell if they were given access to heaven. So that's why there's a hell. That's why people who hate God and who hate his followers can't live in heaven. Because then you would just change the name of heaven to hell, and then everyone would be in hell forever. So every criminal, every sinner ends up being brought to justice one way or another, and every crime committed, God sees what's happening. And it will all be dealt with at the great white throne judgment. So no one gets away with anything. So whereas the first line of security is deterrence, then the second line is more of a physical barrier. But because people are so creative, how do you come up with ways to stop people from committing crime in every conceivable circumstance? That's not possible. You can't even do that in jail. Even in jail, people are able to commit sexual assaults, to steal, to murder, to commit perjury. So here in America, when we look at our criminal justice system, and we've pointed out, I've been quoted by folks, in fact, around the world, saying that it's no longer a justice system, now it's just the system. So justice has nothing to do with it, it's just process. Well, here in America, we have an anti-biblical criminal justice system, and it is a failure at deterrence. Exhibit one, that our system is a failure at deterrence, is our crime epidemic, our overcrowded prisons, our jammed dockets in our courthouses, our horrific levels of sexual assault, violent crime, and murder. That's all exhibit one, that our system is a failure at deterring crime. And that is the first thing it should be good at, and that is something that it could certainly be good at. It could certainly be good at deterring crime. Yes, people's hearts are set in them to do evil, and yes, we will always, until the Lord returns, we will have a society that is characterized by sin. Absolutely. But Jesus promises us, God promises us in the Bible that if we obey him and if we implement God's criminal justice system, then what will happen is you will no longer have a crime epidemic, because even though men will still lust in their hearts, covet in their hearts, hate in their hearts, they will be deterred from acting out and committing crimes in epidemic numbers. For some reason, when Florida's school massacre hit, it drove home for me more than ever before how Christian cliches and our favorite false teachings are a major factor in America's crime epidemic. The church, the body of Christ, has let down our neighbors in so many ways. But one of the more significant ways is that our Christian cliches, the things that are false, that are not true, are so horribly destructive. And you know what they are, right? Don't judge. All sins are equal. God can't change. Forgive everyone. These are all horribly destructive. They're false. And so with the Florida school massacre and now these Texas bombings, they should illustrate to us that human beings have barely scratched the surface in the creative ways in which they could hurt one another. So that even if you're blinded to God's wisdom, the force of events should push people to recognize that deterrence needs to be the primary objective, deterrence. About 20 years ago, the internet was a lot younger. A graphic was circulating on the internet. We have it on our website, kgov.com/nice. You know how people like to be nicer than God? And this graphic, it looks like a laundry detergent box. And it's brand new, all new, brought to you by, P&G, softer, gentler, completely compatible, on demand, no more pesky. It just goes on and on how great it is. But it's not for Tide or cheer or joy. It's for God. It's an advertisement for a Christian, politically correct God. And I'm going to share this with you. There's a website, a theology forum, and it's been on the internet since the 90s, called theologyonline.com. It's had millions of posts, tens of thousands of members. There's a Bobinyurt Live forum on TOL. And the founders, the two founders of TOL, Eric and Gordon, what an honor it was when, as elders of Denver Bible Church, they said, hey, we've got kgov.com, we've got shadowgov, we've got this orbit of websites. We're going to put a theology forum online. And so we have worked with TOL for these decades now. It's just been awesome. And so this graphic, I'm going to share it with you. There's a sunburst in the middle. It's a bright orange color. And there's a sunburst. And over the sunburst is all new God version 6.0. All new God version 6.0 brought to you by today's Christians. Across the top, softer, gentler, and completely compatible. And then you see there's all these symbols, smiley faces, a wink, a thumbs up, a peace sign, and softer, non-judgmental, miracles on demand, totally compatible. Other new features added. There's a tolerance menu, new structure, no absolutes, open environment, sin equalizer, bugs removed, limited time special. It's all there. And what has hit me so hard more recently is that the false teachings that have risen to the top of the Christian consciousness, that these are the things that spill out of a Christian's mouth almost instantly, like God is not outside of time. It's astounding how often that you meet a Christian, you're just talking, and they'll come up with that. I had a dear Christian gal, I mean, just a beautiful gal. She was on the staff of a large national Christian ministry for some years. She said to me this weekend, and it's something because we've been teaching this in our Bible studies and seminars for decades, that if God were really outside of time, then you could pray for the dead, because to God, they're not dead. He's outside of time. So remember Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus? Well, Paul is not saved yet. He's not a Christian yet. He's still murdering Christians. So you could pray for Paul. You could have a part in his salvation. So Jesus was suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's still there suffering. He's on the cross, and the Father's pouring out his wrath on his Son to pay for the sin of the world. Jesus is still there suffering on the cross. Of course, all this is pagan Greek philosophy intertwined with the scriptures. And that comes from Augustine and Boethius and Aquinas and Luther and Calvin and about 1,000 other theologians. They've gotten really good at intermingling pagan Greek philosophy about immutability, impassibility, impeccability, all these attributes of stone idols, right? A stone idol cannot change. It can't sin. It has no emotion. And so they've taken the attributes of stone idols and turned them into the primary attributes of God. And so, wow, they've turned God into a mathematical equation instead of the living, personal, relational, good, and loving God that he is in so many ways. And so this gal, and she is a strong Christian, and she loves the Lord. So how wonderful that is. But hey, the Bible is filled with instances of God rebuking his own people, rebuking his own ministers, rebuking his priests, his prophets, his apostles. It's somewhat of the norm. And so here at Bob and Yurt Live, we ask, I pray constantly, Lord, search me, know my heart, see if there's a wicked way in me, and lead me in your everlasting way. When I criticize others, I've trained myself over the years asking God to help me. If I'm criticizing others, at the same time, I'm praying as I'm speaking, asking God, Lord, do I commit the same sin? Do I do the same? Do I do worse? Lord, please help me be humble before you and recognize when I'm the one who needs to be confronted, to be rebuked, to repent. Please help me, Lord. So with all this, of course, this is such a basic understanding. But so this Christian gal, she says to me, Bob, I've realized that we can pray for the dead. Even though we, and I'm thinking, wow, you sound like a Catholic. You sound like a Mormon. You sound like a pagan. I mean, this is paganism. This is like a cult to pray for the dead. The Bible teaches us that it is appointed to man once to die and then the judgment. That's it. When there's life, there's hope. Once the person dies, then that's it. They have sealed their eternal address, whether they will live forever with God or apart from him. And each person lives forever where they want to live. It's so extraordinary. So she says, because God is outside of time, when we pray, he hears our prayers in the past. And so we could pray for the dead. And that's one of thousands of ways in which false teaching hurts us. Now think about that notion, right? That God is outside of time. And along with that, they say that God has exhaustive knowledge of everything, omniscience, past, present, and future. And they say that his knowledge is immutable. In other words, it can't change. Because if God's knowledge changed, then he'd change and he'd break. Because Plato said that God can't change. If God changed, he would break. So most of our Christian theologians have agreed with Plato, and that's the mess that we're in. So hundreds of millions of Christians at some point in their lives have said, well, then why pray? If God can't change, why pray? And it turns out it's just make work because he wants you to. But it can't change anything. Even for the Arminian pastor who has two kids, a boy and a girl when they're little, even he believes, forget the Calvinist, even the Arminian pastor believes that it is unalterably settled which of his kids will go to heaven, which of his kids will go to hell, if both or neither, and that from eternity past, God knew which of his kids would go to heaven or hell, and there's nothing he can do to change it. There's nothing God could do to change it. It is exhaustive foreknowledge, and it's unchangeable. If someone claimed to have all knowledge that was unchanging, let's say it's a computer database, just the computer database of all knowledge of everything, but it was unchanging. Let's say God took all knowledge and stored it in a computer database and then unplugged the computer. It's there on God's flash drive. All knowledge on God's flash drive. Think about that, right? Some Christians would say, well, can God do that if he wanted to? And so they convince themselves, yeah, he could do it if he wants to. Okay, so all knowledge is on God's flash drive, and it's unchangeable. Well, for one thing, it's unplugged. And so it's all there, but it can't be changed. And so there's some knowledge, then, that you could query the flash drive. Or you could ask, does the flash drive have this certain knowledge? Would it be able to answer from its database, I'm going to ask a question. Could it answer this question? And so I'm going to ask the question in a moment. And you could think, would the flash drive have the information it needs to answer the question? And here it is. What time is it? That's it. What time is it? Could the flash drive contain the information it needed to answer the question, what time is it? Or not only that, but every time every human being has ever asked to another human being, what time is it? Or if they asked Alexa or OK Google, what time is it? To answer the question, what time is it? You have to have dynamic knowledge. Because what time is it now changes at every moment. It's never static. It always changes. And if there was a database, an unchanging database, then that unchanging database couldn't know what time it is. Even knowing what time it is when nobody asks, what time is it? Even then, at every moment. In other words, the present. An unchanging database could not know when is the present. It couldn't know what day it is. It couldn't know what month it is. It couldn't know what year it is, what century it is, whether Jesus had gone to the cross yet or not. It could not know. It couldn't know how much time until the second coming. It couldn't know. So through all these centuries of Christian theologians thinking they're exalting God by attributing to him the pagan Greek attributes of Plato and Aristotle that they came up with, and attributing them to God and that he cannot change in any way, so the future has to be settled, because if he had any change in his knowledge, if his knowledge was in any way dynamic, he would break. He could not be the perfect God. And so they take this monstrosity of a pagan notion and they force it into the Bible, and the consequences are immeasurable, the horrific consequences. Of all these Christian cliches and false teachings that are prevalent, don't judge, God is outside of time, all sins are equal, God can't change, everything happens for a reason, forgive everyone. These cliches, it turns out, are destructive far beyond our Sunday school class. They're destructive in our personal relationships, in our careers, and in our influence on the culture and the world. They are destructive. And so 20 years ago, all new God version 6.0, brought to you by Today's Christians. Softer, gentler, and completely compatible. I'm going to post this graphic on today's show summary at kgov.com. Oh, and since we're putting the shows on YouTube now, but it's going to have a static image, just the logo. Are we able to put this image on there too? I'm asking our producer. Yeah. He said, yeah, okay. Hey, cool. So people there will be able to see it too at our YouTube channel. But all new God version 6.0, brought to you by Today's Christians, across the top, softer, gentler, and completely compatible. Softer, no more pesky rebuking and confrontation. Capable of supporting homosexuality, adultery, bearing false witness, rape, euthanasia, and even child killing. Flattens out problem passages, such out, and then lists a bunch of Bible verses in real small print that people don't have to worry about anymore. Non-judgmental, Matthew 7:1 now runs as a separate module. No longer hangs up on the remainder of Matthew chapter 7. Also disregards this verse and this verse and this verse. New verses added, including hate the sin, love the sinner. Still judges Christians that condemn the wicked. And then there's miracles on demand, back trouble, shoulder injury, impaired vision, hair loss, cancer, unknown sickness, donations expected as usual. Results may vary. Totally compatible, no longer conflicts with any other gods or worldviews. John 3:18 removed to allow for more emphasis on John 3:16. Removes awkward passages such as enlist a bunch of Bible verses. Other new features added, tolerance menu, new structure, no absolutes, sin equalizer, bugs removed, and there's so much more there in the fine print. I think you'll love it. You'll have to check it out. By the way, our telethon, our goal is $50,000, and we are at $12,500. Wow. We have so far to go, but we're not giving up. If you can possibly help keep Bob and Yurt Live on the air for another year, boy, we really need your help. We don't have a foundation behind us. We don't have a mega church. We don't have a large church behind us. We have a homeschool church, Denver Bible Church, and we have the Lord, and we have you. And that's about it. So if you can help, please do. Our website, kgov.com. Click on the store, donations, subscriptions, or call us 1-800-8-NYARDS, 836-9278. May God bless you.